Welcome to the Lagan Valley Vineyard podcast. We are a community passionate about seeing Lagan Valley filled with the presence and the teachings of Jesus. If you would like to connect with us or if we can help you in any way, please visit our website, laganvalleyvineyard.com.
Good morning, good morning. If we haven't met before or you're joining us for the first time, it's great to have you with us. My name's Michael, and I'm part of the team here at the Vineyard. I'm married to the wonderful Louise, and together we have 2 7-month-old twin girls, Annabelle and Elizabeth, as well as our wee dog, Phoebe. They are absolutely amazing and changing our lives every day at the moment. So crazy and a lot of fun is an understatement. This morning is a slightly different Sunday for me, being up here rather than down the back with our AV crew. But this morning we are jumping into our series, Miracles. Like Andy said last week, we're really aware that while speaking about miracles doesn't make sense in this moment we as a community find ourselves in. And honestly, it feels a bit weird. We as a church have to hold on to the tension that the kingdom is coming, and his kingdom arrives in the midst of hard, difficult, and real life. So with that said, I'm going to invite Alex Stevens to come forward and read from Mark chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. If you're able, would you please stand for the reading of God's word? Come, Holy Spirit.
A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening for him in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowering the man on the mat that he was on. Then Jesus saw their faith. He said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now the teachers of the law were sitting there, thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and take your mat and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home."
This is the word of the Lord, given to us that we may know the love of the Father, practice the way of the Son, and be filled over and over and over again by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks, Alex. So just 3 weeks ago, we were gathering down at Nua in Newcastle. I see some faces here that look a wee bit more rested than a few weeks back. Stu Bothwell, he couldn't hack camping anymore. He couldn't hack any more stick about not camping, so he camped. But let me tell you, he was muttering something about a crow and holding really tightly onto those coffees early in the morning. I'm pretty sure you're going to be in the sleeve donnered next year, mate, isn't that right? But as we gathered on the field, God was working and moving in so many ways. There was a sense of hunger and receptivity as our hearts were stirred. You see, John Tyson says, "God comes where he's wanted." I left Nua wondering, why do we see God move so powerfully in those moments? Why do we see him come with such power? And what would it look like for our community to live with receptive hearts in our everyday, ordinary lives as we follow Jesus? What I'm going to talk about this morning is the receptivity of our hearts to healing and miracles. The measure of kingdom breakthrough and new life we will experience and see in our lives will be entirely dependent on the receptivity of our hearts. Entirely dependent on how open our hearts are in this moment. You've maybe heard us say we aren't just hearing the rumors or stories of God moving. Chris just talked about it. But he is pouring himself out across generations. The reality of Jesus is here. It is right amongst us. And a great example of this in our community is KT's story. Andy called Katie up a few Sundays ago, the Sunday afternoon, to give a snippet of her story. But if you weren't here, or you're just curious to find out more, we had actually been chatting in the office. Myself and KT worked down the road at Wilson's. And we got to chatting about KT sharing her story of healing this morning. So could you welcome her as she comes and joins me? It's some crack in the office, let me tell you. In between doing like a bit of work, KT is usually just bending my ear most of the time. So me and KT sit like desk side by side. And I'm like, KT, are you ever going to give over? Isn't that right?
Are you in work? And obviously today, I'm also up here right by your side, so here we are.
Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. I am very thankful for you doing this morning. But let's dive in. Andy sprung on you that he wanted you to come up and share what went on at NUA a few weeks back. Why don't you recap that for any of us who missed it?
Yeah, so a quick recap was... I was in a car accident in December 21. Since then, I wasn't able to lift my arm past this height. I went to physio loads and got steroid injections, met with consultants and had surgery at the beginning of this year. Then I developed a frozen shoulder, went back to the hospital, got hydrodistension, which is really just stretching out my socket and putting more injections and so on into it, but that was meant to give instant relief and it didn't. So I went to NUA on a Saturday and a Sunday with Lucy, who was just leading us in worship there, and she prayed and God healed, and now I can raise my arm after 2.5 years. So that's a recap.
Absolutely incredible. So let's go back a bit. After the car crash, what happened in terms of getting the treatment, and how did that play out?
Yeah, so the car crash happened Boxing Day 2021, so at least I got my Christmas dinner over me. At the time, I thought, sure, my muscles will be sore for a couple of days, and then I'll be grand. I was an active person, studied sport, previously would have worked in a gym and coached badminton, and most evenings and weekends you would have found me either swimming, cycling, paddleboarding, or dandering up in the Mourne Mountains. So I wasn't, like, I was used to the odd sore muscle from time to time, but this felt different, and I actually just couldn't lift my arm past shoulder height at all, and I had to cancel my skiing trip, which was 3 weeks after the accident, and I was pure raging about that.
So honestly, where did you feel like God was in all of it?
Actually, I didn't finish yet. calm yourself. that was only the week after. I've got the whole year. In 2022 and 2023, I was doing everything possible to get my arm working. I attended physio 63 times. I had 2 steroid injections, seen consultants, and I was really just struggling to lift my arm. So in November 23, nearly 2 years post the accident, I was told that I needed surgery. because there was a big massive tear in my shoulder. So massive part of me didn't want surgery at all. Previously, I wouldn't have even set foot through the hospital doors. So the thought of surgery completely terrified me. And anybody who knows me in this room knows that is 100% truth. But I wanted to get better, so I knew I had to do it. So once I agreed to have the surgery, I didn't even want to know the date. I told the surgeon to ring one of my friends and tell them the date, and I did not want to know anything about it until 24 hours beforehand, whenever I needed to fast. But the secretary actually texted me the date, and then I couldn't unsee it. So then I decided that I would just keep it to myself, told maybe two or three people when the date was, and anybody else who asked when it was, I just said it was coming up soon. And then I turned into a bit of a brat and demanded being operated early that morning, purely because I did not want to stay in overnight in the hospital. And yes, I am a terrible patient. I told some people literally a couple of days before the surgery to get praying, and praise Jesus they did, because truthfully and unexpectedly I had a great day in surgery. I pretty much laughed the whole time and had such peace. I don't know whether that was the high medication or what it was, but it was great. 6 weeks went by of me being in a sling. People were calling me one wing and everything. I went from being the most independent person who helped others but never actually asked for help myself to the person that now had to ask friends to cut up my meals, drive me places, wash and brush and straighten my hair and help me as I got stuck in clothes because I couldn't raise my arm up to get them on and off. And poor Lacey had the most lovely job of shaving my armpit several times. So all in all, it was a very humbling experience. After surgery and weekly physio, I had a 3-month review with my surgeon. Seeing the lack of movement, he was just really disappointed for me. Not only was I still recovering from surgery, but I since had a frozen shoulder. At this stage, my disappointment was sky high and my resilience was just at the lowest. The surgeon suggested hydrodistension as the next step, which was stretching out my shoulder socket and putting steroids in it. And this was meant to bring instant relief, and unfortunately it didn't. So at that stage, I had spent so much money on my shoulder that I was getting so angry as to why it wasn't fixed. And I continued to go to physio, felt like an absolute emotional wreck, and was struggling to come to terms with it all. Your turn now.
That's what I'm talking about, constantly bending me. Honestly, where did you feel God was in all of it?
Pretty much all of 2022, I tried to bury my head in the sand and acted like nothing had happened. I didn't want to admit that I was in pain or that I was struggling. 2023, I decided to do monthly fasting and be obedient to God, but I just felt like God was on mute. I was at the point where I had no words left to pray. I wasn't angry with God. I was just feeling really disappointed. All I wanted was an encounter with him, and I felt nothing. I was at burnout stage. The places that I would have went to feel God the most, I could no longer get there, whether that was on the still waters of a paddleboard or on top of a mountain and being amazed by his creation. This affected my faith massively. I didn't know how to fix it. Not only was I physically weak, but I was also doubting where God was, which then left me feeling really disappointed, frustrated, and thought God had forgotten about me. Thankfully, so many people were holding me up in prayer and praying for God's healing over me. And I felt the warmth, especially of this church family and community. I really appreciate each and every one of you who has been praying for me, because those prayers were not unheard. Looking back now, I can totally see God was there through it all. In 2023 and 2024, God was breaking down walls of decades of me holding back feelings, emotions, and not opening up. I grew up in a farming Christian family. We all loved each other, but we definitely wouldn't have shown any emotion or feelings whatsoever. It was very much a get up and get on with it attitude growing up. So I was very, very good at saying I was grand, even though deep down I was a mess. Previously, I would have ran away and hid if I was even close to showing a tear. And most of the time, I compressed every feeling and emotion when things were tough. Friends would have said it was easier to get blood out of a stone than for me to open up about how I felt. But since then, things have changed. This past year, I no longer hide my emotions or feelings, and God has brought me to the place where I no longer compress them, and I've learned to be open and vulnerable. I sat in the disappointment, the frustration, openly talked to where I was at with friends, and now I know the importance of just showing up, even when I didn't feel it or felt like God was on mute.
That was really hard, but something changed. What happened during worship at Nua? What happened that weekend?
There you go.
And during, yeah.
We shouldn't be up here. We're usually in that room in the back. The Friday of Nua, the 14th of June, I was at physio and we had discussed bringing my review date forward with the surgeon. I wasn't really making much progress, and we had chatted about the possibility that the surgeon might suggest more surgery to get my shoulder moving. So that's where I was at, literally Friday of Nua. I thought the thought of potentially going back to the surgeon and him possibly suggesting more surgery and paying out more money was not what I wanted to hear, but at the same time, I'd have done anything to get my arm working. So on a Saturday morning, I picked up Lucy and we headed off to the Nua field. It definitely was not for camping, so I just drove up and down. I had a great day. We got to hang out with your lovely twins and I got fed by the Bridges and Colin and Gwen. So all in all, it was a great time. Saturday night, I remember Adam Cox was speaking. He had mentioned about changing your posture. So I got up out of my chair, went to the back of the tent and just kneeled on the floor. Next thing I knew, I was crying my eyes out. There was even puddles inside my glasses. After a while, I wiped away the tears. There were so many tears that, like, my eyebrows were wet, my hairline was wet, and I really just had to tidy myself up, and I thought I'd be grand. So after that, I went to the sound desk where Mikey and Lucy were standing. And Mikey, the first thing he said to me, and he turned around and he says, KT, you look really fresh. And I was literally like, you need to go to Spec Shavers. Because it was a hot mess. Lucy knew, fine rightly, something was up. And she had asked if I was okay. I said, yep. And she says, are you lying to me? And then I said, yes. She asked what had happened, and then I admitted that I was kneeling on the floor crying my eyes out. Lucy then said, are we going to the front for prayer, or am I praying for you now? I says, you. So we went to the back of the Nua tent, and Lucy started praying the boldest prayers. When she started to pray for me, she inwardly asked Jesus, what do you see? What do you say? We both sat in silence, just waiting on God and inviting the Holy Spirit to come. He gave her a word of restoration in body, soul, and mind. As she started praying into that, the presence of the Holy Spirit was so powerful. She sensed God was saying to me, I see you, which blew my mind as I felt so unseen for a long time. At that time, Lucy felt led to pray for healing in my shoulder. In the silence, she was talking to God with a wee bit of resistance. She didn't want to add to my disappointment, as she knew so many have prayed healing over me previously, and I hadn't felt any change. But on the other hand, she knew she had to be obedient to God, no matter what. As she prayed specific prayers and contending for his kingdom to come here and now for healing, my head was near my shaky knees, and I was just so taken back by the boldness of her prayers and the presence of God. After a while, I looked up and Lucy was in tears. Part of me was like, what on earth happened to you? But actually, she had met with Jesus in such a powerful way and just knew that he was going to bring restoration. The two of us were then emotionally floored for the rest of the evening. We went up to the youth tent, and it was incredible seeing so many of our youth and young people getting up and talking about what Jesus was doing in their lives. So then, on the journey home, with Lucy, I had my hand higher slightly on the steering wheel, because usually I would have had my hand about here, but now I was driving home and my hand was up here. So she had noticed it and called it out. And then I got home that night, and that was the first night in such a long time that I didn't waken during the night in agony and having to use my right arm to move my left shoulder because it was in such pain, and I didn't waken up with any pain that morning.
Amazing. So then what did happen during worship on the Sunday out now?
We drove back up to the new field on Sunday morning, and I just got a sense that God was saying, raise both hands in worship. Again, there was a wee bit of resistance there because I've tried that before and it was just an agony. But again, I had to be obedient to God. So I did it. And praise the good Lord, I could for the first time in 2.5 years. So tears then were streaming, but it was tears of joy. Yeah, so at that time, like, I was just blown away. Tears of joy, and my body was just shaking as I had both hands high in worshiping the Lord. I was in absolute awe of his goodness and his mighty power. So after the first song, I nudged Lucy, who was standing beside me, and I just said, I can raise my arms and worship. And the two of us were like bouncing about the place. The whole service, I was literally in amazement and awe as to, like, I just couldn't wait to show people that, like, what God has done and how he has healed me. So I pretty much walked around the whole field going, look what I can do.
Amazing. There's nothing else to say, really. It's so good. We're now, though, 3 weeks on, and I think it's important to ask, how are you feeling now?
Yeah, so still in absolute awe, and every single morning I get up and I swing my arm about. And I went back to physio as normal 3 days after New Year. As soon as I walked into the treatment room, Jill asked how I was, and I said it was great. She looked at me and was like, I dead on, put the other one. As she knew the week before how annoyed I was and the amount of pain that I was in. I explained that I was at the church weekend away, my friend prayed and God healed, and then I raised both arms high. At that stage, I honestly thought she was either going to start crying or cowp on the floor with shock. She kept saying that she needed somebody to pinch her, as she couldn't believe what she was seeing was real. Genuinely was, I think, the shock of her life. After attending many years at Formation Physio, all the physios got to know me and my dodgy shoulder in there. So Jill then decided to go and get the other physios out of their appointments and out of their treatment rooms, including Emma Bothwell, to come and see me lift both arms, and said it was a miracle. As Jill was working on my shoulder that day, she couldn't believe the freedom and the movement I now had. This had given me so much confidence and reassurance that whenever a professional who has been working on me and knows the muscles and knows the pain that I was in is now saying, it's unexplainable, it's just a miracle. So yeah, now I still go to physio, but only to really to strengthen these muscles, as they haven't been used in 2.5 years, and one arm's like a wee wet noodle and the other arm's like Popeye, so I need to balance them out.
So is there anything else you'd like to say or any encouragement you have for all of us this morning?
I think the most important thing that is this past 2.5 years has taught me is just to keep showing up, even in the disappointment, and be open for prayer. When I felt God was on mute, that was when he was working the most. I felt like I was in the valley, and that is where there's much growth, whereas if you're on the top of the mountain, you never really see plants and so on out there. So I was definitely in the valley wondering what on earth's going on. It could have been very easy for me not to sit in those tears that night at Nua. I could have walked straight out of the tent, compressed my emotions like I always used to do in the past, and I could have walked away from what God was doing. But during this journey, I have learned to get out of my comfort zone, to stay, to weep, and to be open for prayer and get restored for mind, body, and soul.
So, so good. Thank you so much, Katie. God is good, right? Yeah. Why don't you give her a hand as she grabs a seat? What I can't help but notice time and time again in this story is the boldness of both Katie and Lucy to still be open to the work of the Spirit, the work of healing after such a journey, 2.5 years of waiting, and the boldness of the prayers prayed in the opposition of that. I loved it as we chatted and Katie said they weren't small prayers. We don't want to miss this. Lucy was seeking Jesus for a miracle in Katie's life. As we look at Mark 2, we'll see some parallels unfold between Katie's story and the paralyzed man's. You see, some men came bringing to Jesus a paralyzed man. Since they could not get to Jesus, they were bold and lowered the man through the roof. When Jesus saw their faith, he goes on to say to the paralyzed man, "Get up, take your mat, and go home." Jesus brings God's kingdom. This is an explosive moment in so many ways. These miracles were part of Jesus continuing a revolution in the face of culture and religious laws. He's setting the bar for his authority on earth. And in part, it's the response of the boldness of the paralyzed man's friends. See, they brought him. They were so bold in this moment. Jesus' priorities in this moment are also radically different to his critics who were concerned with the religious laws of the day. "He's blaspheming," they said. It says immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this is what they were thinking in their hearts. But you see, Jesus is focused on God's new order. Can we say that together? God's new order. Remember, in Mark 1, Jesus has already proclaimed that the time has come for a new vision of things. This is displayed in front of all the people. At the end of the passage, as the paralyzed man got up and walked out in full view of them all, they said this. They said this amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." Here's the thing. What's stopping us from getting to Jesus? Are we boldly moving towards him with the authority he has given us to partner with him, to see miracles happening amongst us and those we share our lives with? In our ordinary, everyday lives, we get caught up and concerned with what's going on around us, in our culture, in our workplaces, in our families, friendship circles, or maybe just in the thick of the circumstances that we find ourselves in. Where we can find ourselves becoming stuck is often living life inattentive to what's going on in our hearts. Disappointments, hurts, pain, or maybe more bluntly, there is a complacency that can creep into our hearts when we see others seeing miracles or God's stories happening, and we choose to live off those stories without realizing we're numbing and we're robbing our own hearts of the fullness of experiencing God working in and through us to see renewal in the places and spaces we are. Andy said this last Sunday, God's solution is you and I. With hearts full of faith and full of hope, seeking to demonstrate the goodness of God wherever we go, we're called to follow Jesus. Let me level with you. As I've prepared this talk, I've had to do some hard work. I've had to wrestle with some questions. And I've often put them to the side as I follow Jesus. I've been asking myself, how receptive is my heart? When was the last time I prayed bold prayers full of faith and full of hope for a healing miracle in a friend's life? How receptive is my heart to kingdom breakthrough and new life here and now? What's been holding me back? In my life, and maybe in your life, the run-of-the-mill, safe road of following Jesus doesn't require a lot of sacrificial surrender. It's easier to stuff our weakness or brokenness down. We're pretty good at it in this wee country of ours. But the truth is, if we want to see a greater measure and power of Jesus partnering with us today and seeing lives radically changed, new life springing up in our homes and our neighborhoods, signs, wonders, and healings happening here as part of the norm in LVV, each of us need to be awakened and encouraged into action by stories like KT's and many more. There's so many stories of God moving now, but are we awake? Like I said earlier, God's primary agent to bring his kingdom is through you and I. There are miracles to be performed, and these miracles will be accomplished by us when we understand the perfect plan of his spiritual graces that has come down to us. These things will come to us when we come to a place of brokenness, of surrender, of wholehearted yieldedness, where we decrease but God increases, and where we dwell and live in him. Wholehearted yieldedness. We're seeing signs of it bubbling up around us. I don't know whether you're aware, Chris has talked about it, but there's an awakening in Gen Z right now. Stories from across the church of young people hungry for God. Alpha stories here in Lisburn of young people dreaming about God and coming to know him. You see, there are people with no belief that are turning to him for the first time. Renewal and blessing being poured out across the church here in the UK, in prayer meetings and gatherings, and God is stirring something new. And yet, it's so easy for us as individuals to miss it. The stories we're hearing from our young people are incredible, but no matter our age or stage or how long we've been walking with Jesus, he's jealous for us all. For some of us, it's been a long time since we put our faith into action, since we witnessed kingdom breakthrough, and maybe this is a bit head on, but maybe since we got out of our comfort zone and prayed prayers which cost us something. What I think is important to highlight is just being here this morning is costing some of you. It would have been easier in this moment we find ourselves in as a community to postpone this series on miracles. For a lot of us this morning, this subject is in the midst of the depth of grief and loss that we feel. It's hard to stomach. And that is real. It shouldn't be rushed or glossed over or ignored. You see, we are still waiting for the fullness of God's kingdom. We still live in a time that awaits the fullness of the kingdom of God, what Scripture calls the age to come, or renewal of all things. In this age, we know in part, but we are assured of a time when we shall know fully. The fact that we are living between the first and the second comings of Christ, what George Ladd calls living between the already and the not yet, provides the interpretive key for understanding why the physical healing that Christ secured for us in or through atonement is not always experienced today. His sovereignty, lordship, and kingdom are what bring healing. Our part is to pray, Thy kingdom come. and trust him for whatever healing comes from his gracious hand. And if in this age it does not come, then we still have assurance from the atonement that it will come in the age to come. John Wimber. You see, in the midst of this deep theology, Wimber is reminding us of the tension of the kingdom today and the promise of the kingdom one day. And that's so important as we seek healing and miracles, that we understand that tension. But also the challenge to trust, or to put it another way, to keep our hearts receptive to whatever healing comes. Something we just don't have time to get into today is the holistic nature of the healing miracle in Mark 2, of the spirit and the body. We see the power of Jesus as he forgives the man's sins. Jesus knows what he's doing here as he provokes the religious leaders. Mark 2, verse 10. I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Jesus ultimately goes on to instruct the man to get up and walk. But I do really want to keep on track as I come to close this morning. You'll come to notice, as we unpack the miracles of Jesus, our part, as Wimber says, is to pray, your kingdom come. Why don't the band come back up? As we respond this morning, we know we're living in the already and the not yet of the kingdom. But all the friends do in Mark 2 is bring their friend to Jesus, bring the paralyzed man to Jesus. They're so hungry and desperate. It says they lower him through a roof. For us this morning, let's be like the four friends. Let's bring ourselves, our people, to Jesus. And maybe, like I found myself doing earlier this week, you need to check, is your heart receptive this morning? The measure of kingdom breakthrough and new life we will experience and see in our lives will be entirely dependent on the receptivity of our hearts. Entirely dependent on how open your heart is in this moment. Why don't we all stand together? I'd love to pray for us all this morning, for our hearts, that we would be receptive and carriers of his kingdom. So if it's helpful, why don't you change your posture? Put a hand on your heart. Open up your hands to the Lord this morning. Holy Spirit, Spirit, come. Jesus, we open our hearts to you. We open our hearts to you, God. And God, if we find ourselves this morning feeling cynical or numb, would you just come and fill us afresh? Maybe we find ourselves limping towards you today. We say we're receptive to you doing what only you can do, God. Would you come and fill us? We want to carry your kingdom. We want to receive your new life. And Jesus, we're no longer holding back. We're no longer holding back. We want to partner with you to see breakthroughs, healings, and miracles as we boldly choose to follow you this morning. In your name, Father. Amen. What a love is for our staff team and our HOTS team, campus students, tribe leaders, to come and occupy this space at the front. If you guys can come now. And as we respond, I'd love us as a community to be like the four friends and bring to our minds those who are in the thick of it right now, who need prayer over circumstances or situations or physical healing and or just a miracle. Why don't we take a minute? Bring to the forefront of your mind those who need Jesus. Bring them to Jesus. Who do we need to carry to Jesus this morning? These guys are at the front, and if, like the four friends and Lucy and Katie's story, you know you need to bring someone to Jesus, particularly for healing, these guys are going to pray simple, bold prayers for God's kingdom to come. Also importantly, maybe you are the one in need of healing. Let's not hold back this morning. Let's open our hearts. Let's be receptive to his kingdom. Let's pray your kingdom come. As you begin to come, the guys are going to lead us in worship. And why don't we continue to respond this morning? Let me pray. Come, Holy Spirit. We pray over all the situations that we have brought to the forefront of our minds. We lay them before you this morning. We lay them at your feet, Jesus. We boldly say, you're king over it all, over pain, over sickness, over marriages, over finances, over grief, over fear and anxiety. God, we say you're king over it all. Over impossible situations, God, we say you're king over it all. We ask for your kingdom to come right now, for heaven to invade earth. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus, we pray. Keep coming for prayer and let's worship together.